SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What is this going to be?
Moneyline.
No! Are you kidding me? I'm diddly D!
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win seven games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
Are you kidding?
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
New week, new money, people, right here on the Sports Grid Network. The best hour of your day. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie and Kevin. And away we go into the afternoon with a lot of hot topics. And did you know, people? Yes, it's a leap year. There's 29 days in February, but those 29 days are up this week, which means Friday is the first day of March. The following weekend, or week, I should say, we will get conference tournaments underway. And Major League Baseball's, I'm watching a game right now between the Twins and the Yankees in spring training. It's a good time here, K-Dub. A lot of interesting things going on.
No doubt it does remind me that I should give people an idea of the schedule for myself moving forward. We are bringing people game time. It is always changing. It is always. Hopefully this is the last one, Donnie, for at least a while. But game time decisions is coming to the weekends from 11 to 1 p.m. I mean, you know, you just look at this past weekend, Donnie, right? The college basketball Saturday slates are incredible. The NBA slate, I thought over the weekend, was really strong. So we wanted to step up and give people that with obviously football being done. But that does mean no Wednesdays, no Fridays for your boy K-Dubs. So we'll see on Saturdays and Sundays. Wednesdays, you guys are used to not seeing me, but no Fridays either.
There you go. So Kev can't hang out at the beach this summer, all tied up. Got to get to the studio an hour after, meetings after another hour. By the time you get home, what, 3-4 o'clock? I mean, what happens?
I'm all about them. You know, it's so funny. I'm all about the meetings, but people are like, oh man, like, what are you gonna do without the weekends? Like, I'm very used to, and I don't know where you are at this, but like, Don, I'm used to working the weekends. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't throw me off as much as I feel like the others have, again, similar to you, like, me working every weekend. I don't know, it's just what I do.
Yeah, no, and of course, being with no kids and, you know, not married, it's a lot easier to say, hey, you know, because then I never see my wife at all because she's off weekends, I work weekends, I'm off Wednesday. What, is she going to take the whole day off and hang out with me and go get a cheesesteak for lunch? Like, no, it wouldn't happen. So it's a perfect scenario for a guy like you at this point. But also, are we going to carry this over into September? I mean, is football season 11 to 1, GTD on the weekends? What are we doing here? You working double time?
I would imagine college football today and pro football. Football today will be back in full effect. Man, imagine the schedule that you would work if you didn't have other life responsibilities.
Yeah.
Like, it would be wild. You would probably work 7 days a week.
Yeah, and mostly it would be late at night and watching the games and sleeping in the morning, maybe getting the workout in, handicapping, and getting right back after it here. But like my weekend this Saturday and Sunday was like, nice, now that I have weekends off again, it was a doubleheader on soccer for Saturday. So, you know, leaving the house around noon, not getting back to about 6 o'clock. And then we did it again on Sunday with another game. Out, had some good pizza yesterday, though, so made up for it. So that's my weekends here. As opposed to working, I am driving around and watching soccer at this point in freezing cold temperatures. So hopefully in the next couple weeks it'll get a little bit warmer, which I do think it actually is here. So that's how my weekends are going to be spent. But K-Dub, 11 to 1, weekend action. Who's on that show? Just you? Like, who's coming on? What's the deal?
We're going to have, you know, plenty of guests rolling through. Coach certainly will be on a lot. Brady Cannon. I'm really excited to have Brady on to do the weekend golf updates, DRS, and get a sense of those tournaments because there's always a lot of money to be made there. Joe Madden's been helping us a lot out with the hockey.
Yeah.
I mean, but when baseball season rolls around, I mean, people are already asking. People are already at.
Maybe put my own baseball show on the network here. I mean, what are we doing here? Wow. You know what I mean?
Like, Donnie around the diamond?
Exactly. 8 to 11s get then shifted to 12 to 1. I mean, we have a football show so still at this point. I mean, that's got to get bumped for baseball, right? Is that what we're hearing behind the scenes?
I mean,
football full circle. Football has already come full circle. So what are we doing?
Right.
Baseball now is coming in here. Exactly.
Again, Donnie around the diamond. It works for me.
I mean, how many times can we talk about the Georgia Bulldogs here in the month of February and March at this
Someone
point?
Someone get Lisi. Tell him to explain himself.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what we need. Now, well, you want to start some hot topics here. We're ready to get after it. And I need to see your take because this morning, of course, our Fade the Public poll was, Kevin, do you think that court storming should be a thing of the past? Basically, yes or no. And if anybody wasn't watching this weekend, Duke was not upset. They were beaten by a favorite team, but yet the fans were like, oh my God, greatest upset I've ever seen in my life. And they stormed the court for Wake Forest because that's what you do, I guess, when you beat a team like Duke. But Filipowski gets injured because it was like the movie Braveheart running at him, trips here, falls here, spins off it, gets carried off the court. And if you saw, you know, their head coach, John Shire, talking about it, what are we still doing with storming the court? So what is your opinion before we even get into what can happen on court storming in college sports?
Yeah, I think it can go, right? My reaction to this is going to be exactly what you expect, Donnie, because you alluded to it there. I think, personally, you know how you always want to be the commissioner, Donnie? I would like to be the mayor of whether or not you are allowed to storm the court.
Okay.
And Wake Forest was favored. You have no business storming the court then. You don't storm the court if you're favored, okay?
Yeah.
My dad, it was such a role reversal. My dad told me BYU, earlier this week, Donnie, top 25 BYU, 4.5-point home favorite, stormed the court when they beat Baylor. And I was legitimately stunned. I'm like, no way, that's not true. He's like, they beat Baylor, though. It's a big win. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. I mean, they hardly covered the number. Like, I can't DRS. And, as far as the safety of it all, like, it is funny that the Filipowski incident is going to be the one that elevates this to the next level because Filipowski very much tried to shove a kid that was running past him and got shoved for it. I don't know, like, where you land on the individual item that is Kyle Filipowski. I think I'm just annoyed at how much court storming there is. It's not special. Like, court storming should be when a mid-major randomly goes to a top 25 team that paid him to be there, and they somehow win that basketball game.
Yeah, but you're not going to storm the court on the road, though. You got to storm it at home, which means, like, we never really used to this stuff at this point and, you know, do some damage. But we're lucky that we've gotten to this point and nobody's really had a melee. Because let me tell you something right now. Let's just say you're Kyle Filipowski, and let's just say, you know, he's got a little bit of toughness to him, a little edge. Maybe has a little bit of background, Kevin. Those kids storm the court, and who's to say if he didn't just start dropping bombs on these kids' jaws? Left and right, cleaning house, and his team saw it. Came in and started doing the same thing. Like, we're lucky we haven't seen. I'm surprised we haven't actually seen that because, number one, you're getting court storm, which means you lost to probably a division rival in a big moment, and you're already angry. And I remember, I mean, I'm 46 years old. I remember when I was 18 to 22, some things I might have said to the other team's star player as I was running by. We're lucky we haven't seen that rumble. Can we fix it? Maybe it's possible. Is it going to stop altogether? I don't think so. We'll compare the two coming back next. Keep it right here on the Sports Grid Network. Work SiriusXM channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Storming the court seems to be a big deal these days in college basketball. Part of the pageantry, we even see it in college football. But is it becoming too dangerous at this point for kids to run on the court? Because we are waiting for a Malice in the Palace type moment. Quite frankly, almost came when the Duke Blue Devils got stormed by Wake Forest, knocking down Filipowski, gets carried off. Shire didn't know what's going on. No punches were thrown. But there is a way to stop this, and it's pretty easy. Like, these new arenas, you're caught in 4K. 4K. If they said, you know what, we just don't want to deal with this anymore, they just take the pictures of the kids on the court, find them one by one who went to the school, expel them, put a fine on them, send them to jail, whatever. But we don't want to do that. We don't want to go that extreme. So we're talking about ways that storming the court end with a football field can be, I don't want to say beneficial, but okay. Like, is it one of those things where we have to wait until the other team leaves, then our team gets to, like, you know, mid-court, then we storm the court and have fun? Is that the way we got to go about doing it now?
Do you care this much about this?
No, I don't. I don't care about it, but it's a big deal where there's people. I've seen, because our vote this morning, Kevin, was 50-50, which I always think is interesting. Like, do you want to go away with the court storming? Like, to me, I don't really care about it. And quite frankly, like, you know, we're human beings. We sort of like the car crash. Like, ooh, why is this traffic? Oh, look at that. Cars on the side of the road. Let me take a look here. So if it's going to get where it's gladiator sport out there with guys throwing bombs on fans and all that stuff, like, hey, I would actually enjoy it and say, whoa, all right, Donnybrook out here. But I know that's not where they want it to go. But aren't we getting close to the fact where sooner or later we are just going to have all-out brawls between fans and the opposing team?
I mean, yeah, it certainly increases the possibility it happens, right? I mean, there's a reason we don't storm the court in professional sports. Like, imagine they storm the court, Donnie, in the NBA Finals if you clinched it. Well, they just wouldn't do that, right?
Like, oh, it'd be so much fun.
But that's the thing. Like, we would never do it in the NBA, so why do we do it in the college game? And I guess they would say, like, well, that's the separation of the two. I don't know. I just, like, here's my thing. Like, what is your take on specifically the Kyle Filipowski incident, Donnie? Because am I wrong in that the overhead shots show that Filipowski legitimately went to shove someone before anybody went to shove him?
No, because I think you're wrong on that, because when you have so many people sprinting full speed at you, your mind already goes into, like, hey, I need to, like, sort of protect myself and see who's coming at me. So I don't think he actually meant to trip him, but I do see his arms out, and rightfully so. Like, I'm saying, like, if you're that big and they're coming on the court, we're just lucky he's saying, you know what, watch this, man. Forearm right to this guy's jaw and just knock him silly. And nobody would have had an issue with it whatsoever. He'd say, look,
I'm
on a court.
True.
Like, these people are yelling and screaming right by me. Like, I have every right to defend myself. Like, there's no way he would have got suspended for anything or had any charges.
Oh, no way. No, he 100% would have been suspended.
No shot.
If they did a court storming and Filipowski went and knocked someone out.
If you got knocked into and spun around and, like, somebody was behind him again and he just cold cocked the guy, I'd be like, hey, man, that's what you get for running on the court. These guys think you're actually going to, like, fight and I'm getting contacted at her. There's no way. Like, I don't know of any time in anybody's life where a court would storm and you would get, like, knocked over. You're like, all right, next time that guy comes into me, I'm laying somebody out here. Because, again, you're a college kid. You just got upset. They're probably giving it to you in your ear and running into you at the same time. It's just again, if he went into the crowd and was like, hey, I'm just going to put my hands on somebody, like, yeah, you can't do that. But on the court, kids screaming and running by, and then you get knocked into? Yeah, I'm surprised we don't have absolute rumbles on the court.
Yeah, but the thing is, Donnie, the court storming has existed forever without rumbles. So.
Yeah, but we also have had it where people don't get run into. Like, why am I seeing this? Like we usually don't see it, but I've seen it quite a few times now where it's like, okay, we're making contact with players as we run full speed onto a court.
Right. I don't know if it's because they're going more often, like, or quicker onto the court. Like, I don't know if Filipowski was taking his time. I don't really know what it was, Nani, right? But, like, it has existed for a very long time. And I don't know. You go back further than I do.
Yeah.
Are there instances of court storming leading to brawls between players and fans?
Yeah, I don't remember off the top of my head. Maybe a caller does at that point. But also, this was an interesting one because watching it, like, I didn't see it live, but obviously I saw the replays and, you know, whether it be on ESPN or just on, like, you know, Twitter or social media. This was a fast-moving, like sprint to center court with waves of people. Like, a lot of times you say, and it's like, all right, it starts on one end and the players already left. This felt like they were out there, like, again, like Braveheart. Like, before the horn even sounded, they were already at midcourt. And that's why, like, everybody was caught up because, again, kids are running full speed. You're walking. You've just walked in a mall or a supermarket. It's like, all right, I'm going to try to walk this way. Somebody's walking the other way. Well, try that with 50 people running full speed one way as you try to make it to the other side of the court. You're going to collide with somebody.
Again, But it's just a weird thing. Like, Don, this is at an apex because of the singular Filipowski incident, right? So, I don't, again, my beef with it is, and this is not a bit, I'm dead serious, like, you stop, Don, they did College Game Day, and that was four people, but nevertheless, all of them picked Wake Forest to beat Duke.
Yeah.
All of them picked Wake to beat Duke. Enough of the ESPN alert that tells me Wake Forest upsets Duke. I'm tired of it. It's garbage. What are we doing? What are you storming the court for? You were the favorite. It's bad.
I don't know. I mean, if they're Wake Forest, I mean, they probably would storm the court against Winston-Salem State. You know what I mean? When's the last time they won anything? So they beat Duke, they feel good, they storm it out.
No, no. Terrible. I can't believe you don't agree with me on that. So sometimes I wonder what happened to you. Have you gone soft?
College kids.
Have you gone soft?
No, I haven't. That's because, you know, if we don't ban the court, like, again, I would love to see 12 versus 300. Like, you know, be like the movie 300 at that point. Like, we got our shields out here. We're ready. Here they come. Hold. And then boom, release and just go after them there. Like, it would be crazy to watch it play out. Now, granted, if that turned into a brawl yesterday, as of today, there will be legislature from the NCAA, ACC, and all the Power Fives. Storm the courts, $250,000 fine for the institution, and you will be sent to jail immediately when we get your picture and expelled from school. And they're like, all right, well, that's going to end it here. But we do like the pageantry of college, so there are ways to get around it and do it. I just thought it was an interesting topic. And it didn't matter that it was Duke or really Filipowski. It would have been anybody in a, you know, a Donnybrook that gets knocked down. Like, you had the most famous maybe women's player the past, what, 15 years get knocked down and spun around, and who started that? It doesn't matter. We just haven't seen that all that much here, and we're either waiting for a really bad injury to occur where a guy, like, blows his knee out, or worse, that we just get a, all right, let's get out here. Me, Ron Artest, and, you know, we're just going to start swinging, and nobody's going to say anything because they invaded our territory out here, whereas the Malice in the Palace were the players going into the stands. It's almost like all bets are off. Like, you see it all the time. Professional sports, even like wrestling, right? A fan gets in the ring. It's like, hey, you know what? Look, this is free money right here. Boom, bing, bang, boom. Oh, nobody gets mad at the wrestler for absolutely decking a person coming in there. Or even we used to see it back in the day in football. Hey, let's run on the field and cheer. And then the football player will come out of nowhere and just blindside the guy, and we all thought it was, you know, hilarious and all that stuff. So I don't know how it ends or if it does end, but I do think we're going to have new, let's just say, protocols in place sooner than later, and probably in football too at that point here, because they like to storm it. But there's much more room on a football field. It's sort of like, okay,
yeah, but it's
3-2-1. Yeah, there's
way
ways to get out of the field.
Dangerous on a football field, in my opinion. Don, because football guys can be way bigger. There's way more of them, and they're coming equipped with helmets just in case, you know, it's Escalation City.
Yep, they can. We'll see what happens, but that's the news of the weekend here from storming the court. A lot of good stuff went on the court itself, but I'm going to set this up for the next segment here. Over the weekend, I think it was over the weekend, maybe it was even Friday, the salary cap goes up 30 million. I think what did it go up? 30 million bucks on what it is, which means everybody has money now. Like, some teams were like 70 million under the cap and have $100 million to play with. And if you know how NFL contracts work, you could probably sign 10 guys to $50 million contracts. Like, hey, we, you know, it's only up like 5 million bucks this year. You can really get away with a lot. The interesting one is T. Higgins was tagged by the Cincinnati Bengals. I already know how this is going to work out. Most people might look at them like, oh man, good move by the Bengals. I know exactly where this is headed. And if we had a vote on if T. Higgins is going to play for the Bengals or not this year, my vote's no. Let's talk about it next. It's tag season in the NFL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at a little NFL news and notes here in this section. That's the Bengals placing the franchise tag on star wide receiver T. Higgins. 4 years in the NFL, just about 1,000 yards every single year. A quality wide receiver. The salary cap jumps up enormously. One of the biggest record jumps that we've ever seen, which means every team is flushed with cash and players can't stand the franchise tag because it eliminates them from being a free agent. And maybe if the worst team you could possibly be on, that franchise franchise tags you, it's the Cincinnati Bengals, because they'll be the team that tells you, huh, is what it is, and hope to see you at camp. But if not, good luck to you. We'll put that $20 million in our pocket. Mm. You won't get paid, and you'll lose out a year on free agency, and we'll tag you again the next year at this point. The reason I bring this up is, you take a look at Joe Burrow, signed that monster contract, and rightfully so, deservedly, and that's what you do. Ja'Marr Chase is also going to come up on a monster extension here. You saw T. Higgins last year, where most people were surprised, like, wow, it's going to play on the last year of his contract. So probably get the tag or be a free agent or get moved here. Mm-hmm. I saw the tag come in, and most people were like, oh, that's good. Let's keep that trio in there. Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and also Joe Burrow at this point. But I don't think this is a good thing here, because when the cap goes up this high, like T. Higgins, $30 million, I think, is the highest number for a wide receiver, which was Tyreek Hill last year. Bunch of those guys, legitimate guys, like around $25 million. The starting price is going to be $30 million a year for T. Higgins. There's no way he's playing on like a one-year, $21 million contract. He's not going to play this year, if that's the case, Kevin.
No, I it's highly unlikely, because the difference between T. Higgins and Saquon or T. Higgins and Josh Jacobs is he plays wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And wide receivers don't have to play on the tag. Yep. And, you know, the only way, Donnie, he does is if he goes, no, I really, really, really want to be a Bengal. And I really think we could win a Super Bowl this year. And I'm just going to figure it out. And I trust myself to stay healthy. Because the one thing, you know, Donnie, is like Kirk Cousins obviously played that year on the tag. And, you know, Kirk's made more money than basically everybody, right?
Yeah.
When it comes
yep.
to the quarterback position. So,
yeah.
Look, I'm not even kind of pushing back. I think you're right. It would basically be, if T. Higgins somehow thought it was better for him to be on the tag, it's the mm-hmm. only way. The Bengals are powerless in this, despite already being the ones to tag him.
Because this is one of those where it's like, oh, they tagged him here. And they tagged him early. Like, we're not up against the deadline, which you'll see more players get tagged. But it just makes mm-hmm. me think already, T. Higgins' agent's going like, all right, I got a number in mind. Okay, look at this. Splash. Cap goes up $30 million. Now you're really flush with cash. But I was going to ask for, I don't know, $20 million a year. It's now $30 million a year for 5 years, which means $80 million in guarantees.
Yep.
And the Bengals, rightfully so, aren't going to say, like, well, all right, the cap went up 30. We would love to pay you, but what would Ja'Marr Chase's contract be the next year? So I'm going to have like $400 million worth of wide receiver? You can't do that on it, you know, try to spread the love on wealth on a team and be balanced. Like, usually you'll pay a big-time wide receiver, and then you're almost like, hey, well, hopefully our number two isn't as good as our number one, which is a great problem to have, but it usually doesn't work out in your favor. And also, you might have gotten away with this, but the fact that the cap went so much higher and probably just like juggled the brains of these GMs, because I always talk about like some of the moves that were made just a few years ago when the salary cap started rising up. And it was, who was it? It was Christian Kirk that went from Arizona to Jacksonville for like $18 million a year. Like, wait a second. Like, this guy's like a $5 million a year player, let's just say. Why did he go for 18? They go, well, number one, the cap went up. Number two, we're Jacksonville, we have to spend this money. We can't be at the floor. We got to be above it. That's why you get that. Like, that's why I feel like if T. Higgins, let's just say, like, oh, you know, we can't work it out, or we have a first-round pick on the guy. We want to trade him. All right, we'll take third for T. Higgins, and you get him, and you can sign him to whatever he wants. And granted, the team's not going to make a move unless that new contract is out. But the fact that he's looking at 20, when people are like, man, this guy wouldn't play for $21 million. No, you wouldn't if you knew your real number is $80 million guaranteed. That's where I think we're going to be dug in. And also, if they do give him a contract here, where does that leave Ja'Marr Chase at this point? Because when you're trying to negotiate back and forth, that's going to be like a midway. Like, look, I know I'm way better. I love my guy T, but I'm way better than him. You just gave him $80 million. I want $125 guaranteed. It'll get wild there in Cincinnati.
It will. But also, too, DRS, like if we look around the NFL right now, right, mm-hmm. if you were the Cincinnati Bengals, mm-hmm. you don't need T. Higgins. I'm not downplaying how good T. Higgins is. He's one of, let's call it, the 24 best wide receivers in football, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But you have the highest paid quarterback in the game, and you're right, the soon-to-be highest paid wide receiver in the game.
Yeah.
You don't now need also the sixth highest paid wide receiver in football. That's you're not allocating your assets appropriately then if you're the Cincinnati.
Yeah,
and that's why I think T. Higgins is traded on draft night or leading up to draft night. Don't you? I think he's traded.
It's the only way. Like, the Bengals actually would love. Like, usually when you have a – franchise tag player, it blows up your salary cap because you can't kick anything down the line, right? So you say to yourself, all right, let's just say if a player was worth $20 million a year, we signed him to 5 years, now his cap hits are $3 million, $6 million, $8 million, and then $19 million, as opposed to, all right, we just got the cap hit here, we can't kick it down. It's $21 million right off of the bat. But if you are the Bengals with this cap going higher and T. Higgins like, I'll play under that for 1 year, you would love that because you can absorb that right away, then start working on Jamar Chase and say, hey, guys, look, we know this isn't going to last long term, but for one more year, the band is back together. Let's just see what we can do. But usually it's like, oh, great, they tag T. Higgins, smart move, he's off the market. That's not what off the market means. It already means that that agent reached out to the team and's like, what do you think about 5 years for 135? And they go, that's not happening. All right, fine, we're not even going to have a negotiation until we get to, like, training camp. But make no mistake about it, if he isn't moved and by, like, training camp, the reason I bring up the Cincinnati Bengals, too, because it wasn't that long ago. Well, maybe, I guess, in between my lifetime and your time, it was Carson Palmer, who was their starting quarterback, who came there as a very good quarterback. He basically told him, like, I'm done with this cheap organization. Like, I know I have a decent contract, but we're going nowhere in Cincinnati. And quite frankly, he was right to the most part. Look, just find me a place to trade me. I'll go anywhere. And they go, we're not trading you at all. Like, we're not even taking phone calls. So they sat him for the whole year and basically like, look, we don't have to pay him any money, even though it hurts our team. Let it be known that anybody else who tries to hold out on this football team is not going to happen, which is exactly the wrong way you're supposed to treat your franchise, by going like, hey, look, we're going to save money because our best player isn't playing. Now, they wound up with Oakland, who was ridiculous, with, I think, Hugh Jackson, like, we'll give you 2 first-round picks, and it was just a disaster, but a good move for Cincinnati. I just look at that by saying they slapped that tag on. Unless they're getting a hometown discount in a cap that went up $30 million, he won't be signed to Cincinnati.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think, but here's the thing, man. T. Higgins is still such a legitimate number one for so many teams, Donnie.
Yes.
That the return they could get, you know, in the draft is potentially huge. Like, they very well could secure a top 15 pick for T. Higgins, no? I think that's in line for this team.
I just see, you know, I would say no on that. Let's just say T. Higgins was in his third year. Now, we got him 2 years under control. We'll absorb that. We'll give you the one. It's hard for, like, an average, like, fan to comprehend where it's like, hell yeah, you would give a one for T. Higgins, and you go, hold on now. We're going to give a one and then pay the guy $140 million. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't sit well. No, they, and you're right. There are some teams that are say, look, and again, Chicago Bears, Kevin. Look, we have so much money. You want to what? Yep, we'll give you one of our ones. Maybe a future or two that turns into a one. And T, what do you want? I want 140. Done deal. We have so much. We can't even spend all the money we have. You know what? You wanted 140. We'll give you 160 because you're a good soldier and we love you that much. Like, they might even pay him more than he even wants to because they can, because there is a floor you have to get to. It's just interesting where it came down to. It's like, wow, that's really interesting. But no, if I'm saying he's not going to play another down for the Bengals, and I agree with you that he probably will be moving. And draft night, you probably get the most for him, because if you don't move him draft night, teams settle in a free agency, which again, T. Higgins isn't a free agent, spend all of their money, and then T's going to get to training camp. Like, now's the time I'm going to yell and scream, and somebody's going to give me up. No, they're not going to give you $140 million in the month of August. It's not happening at that point. So I do agree with you. We might get some fireworks for T. Higgins on draft night,
which will be exciting, I think. And but again, Cincinnati could really come out for the better of it. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs, Donnie, traded Tyreek Hill and have won every single Super Bowl since. I mean, think about that, right? So this is the situation. Now, they're a unique team. They obviously have a spectacular quarterback, a spectacular head coach, and they've been healthy. You know, that's one of the main things for the Cincinnati team is, you know, we talk a lot, and we're, you know, rightfully talking about T. Higgins. But, you know, I saw the other day, you know, Joe Burrow, for whatever reason, was a topic of conversation online. You know, if Joe Burrow played the way Lamar did, Donnie, we'd always talk about his health concerns. But because he doesn't, we are like, I don't know, it's so fluky. But he gets hurt all the time, Donnie. That's the reality of Joe Burrow. He gets hurt all the time.
Every single, like, the guy never has an off season. It's a shame. Like, he's always trying to recover from something, and then by the time he recovers, he gets hurt again at this point. Another update, the Raiders will not tag running back Josh Jacobs again, but they will attempt to sign him. So teams finally are waking up, and I expect the same exact thing from the Giants. Like, hey, Saquon, love you, kid. No, we're not going to give you a one-year deal on a franchise tag. And no, we're not going to give you the money that you wanted here. And sorely so. Again, the Raiders aren't ready to win yet. Why would you sign Josh Jacobs? Same exact thing with the New York Giants. I expect both of those running backs to be on the move. And, man, if one can just find the Buffalo Bills, you know what I mean? One can find, what, the Baltimore Ravens? Like, that's probably where we're going here. Also, the Cowboys not expecting to tag free agent running back Tony Pollard. You think at this point? And also says the Titans won't tag Derrick Henry either. Or is every NFL team just waking up on the right side of the bed today? Like, you know what? We're not good football teams. Why are we signing running backs?
Yeah, I mean, the running back situation was going to come to a collapse. And meanwhile, we spent the entire postseason pretending that the best team in the league's MVP was a running back. That was
yes.
A lot of fun with that.
And also, something that Notre Dame should factor on doing this as well. UMass, the University of Massachusetts, set to join the MAC conference in 2025. Why? Because it's just too hard to get them in 2024? What are we doing here, man? Put me commissioner. You be in the MAC tomorrow. You be in the tournament next week with the MAC UMass. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here, talking some Tag City. A lot of other interesting ones come in here for us. Oh, look at this. The Chargers are not expected to... The Chargers are expected to let Austin Eckler just be a free agent. He didn't even get the tag of they're not expected to tag him. They just say, yeah, good luck out there, brother.
Around.
Oh, that's so good. You want to come back, you got to pay us to play here, pal. So Austin Eckler, who I do think would be a fine addition to a good football team as not the lead running back, but like a really viable player. We'll see where that goes. But that's not a surprise. When you see Jim Harbaugh take a job, what's he going to want, Kevin? 5'11", 225, bulldozer. That's not Austin Eckler.
Like, Donnie, what happens if this guy drafts Blake Horn, like, inside the top 10?
Oh, it's like the Chip Kelly effect?
Yeah,
just Eagles, like, he's trying to get, like, Josh Hart first round. Like, wait a second, brother. You can get him in fifth. What are you doing here?
Like, who did we just hire? What did we just sign up for? This is bad news. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Like, if you had, JJ, like, let's just say Herbert wasn't out there and you were the Chargers, but you had, like, I don't know, the sixth overall pick. Like, would that just be McCarthy's spot? Or would the team that's in fifth be like, you better trade up now because I know you want him. We'll just take him out of spite. So give us that extra second round pick. Like, you know what? He's right. He's right. We got to get this guy.
Yeah, I feel like it could be bad. I feel like, I don't know. There's just something to me that I don't trust fully when it comes to Harbaugh taking over. He's so close to the... I know he's already made this leap once before, but I don't know. I just worry he's going to draft.
Fall off the wagon?
McCarthy.
Yeah, just go nuts. Like, you know what? Just taking all Michigan guys. We're just going to get it started out here on the West Coast. By the way, are we look... Because, again, the salary cap went up. It was always thought, like, you don't pay running backs, you don't pay running backs, you don't pay running backs. But usually when the cap goes up that much, all levels of positions get paid more. It feels like now, like, yep, goes up, quarterback's up, defensive end is up, cornerback, like anybody important, like running back, no, you're actually going to lose money in this cycle. The cap went up $30 million per team, and like, you know, we're not paying you even what you got last year. So it looks like some of these teams, I mean, waking up, are we going to see no running backs get tagged, which means you're going to have some very, very good running backs on the free agent market, but that doesn't mean like other teams are even jumping to. It's almost like the curse. Like, hey, by the way, Derrick Henry's at. Like, oh well, what's he want?
Well,
you know what I mean?
No, that's going to be the really interesting. I'll say if you're one of these guys, like no one's going to want to go first, Donnie. But whoever goes first might get the most money.
You know who's the best agent? You know the best agent last year, Kevin? Miles Sanders. Paid real money right off the bat in free agency and stunk. Like, if you're like the whole running back position last year, like Tony Pollard, oh man, you got to steal by tagging that guy. He was, I mean, granted, he scored some touchdowns, but he wasn't anywhere near the explosive player he was the year before. Like, I like Derrick Henry a lot, but like, hey, you know what? We're moving in a different direction here. Saquon Barkley's like, you know what? I'm the deal. He had one of his worst seasons he's ever had, and he really wasn't injured all that much. So it's like, it was a terrible, like, there's nothing that we can, and again, Austin Eckler. I want more money. Like, dude, you barely played last year. Like, you twisted your ankle week one, and we basically never heard from you again. It's a terrible season to be like, you know what? It's the bounce back of the running backs this year.
But they're flooded with them. So it becomes one of those things, like, who's going to be the running back that takes the cheap offer to be with a contender that might mess up everybody else? Like, everyone's going to assume the Ravens will get one of these guys. Like, the Chiefs aren't going to come and take any of them. Who's the Eagles running back again? What's his name? DeAndre Swift.
Like, Swift's going to leave because the Eagles won't pay him $2 million. So, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, well, who are they actually signing at this point?
Right.
Nobody.
No, it's interesting, DRS. It's really interesting. But that like, imagine Kansas City, right, can have their pick of these guys. We're like, nah, listen, we got to stick with Isaiah Pacheco. We got to stick with what works. Like, that's how it's going to – like, are the Bills, Donnie, after years and years and years being like, well, we need a good running back, now going to have the chance to draft one and not take one? Like, is that what we're looking at here?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Like, we're at such a low mark now where, like, hey, like, the Buffalo Bills, you can go out and get, like, for a decent price, I don't know, let's just say Derrick Henry. And, like, that's a slam dunk. And now, like, we see the writing on the wall. Like, if we just take a guy in the fourth round, like, we'll get better production. Don't have to pay the guy. And do you remember, was it last year where the running backs said, we all got to meet up and just hold out as, like, a brotherhood?
Oh, yeah.
At this point, we don't want to get paid.
watch how cutthroat it gets, though, now that they're all fighting against each other.
Yes, there's going to be no, like, hey, look, man, I'm getting $6 million. I'm going to take this job. Because, I mean, we even forget, like, the guys like Dalvin Cook getting, like, $10 million to do nothing. Like, it might have been the worst year of the running back, like, return on investment we've ever seen. It really might have been.
But again, it doesn't mean that they can't, like, still be valuable or some aren't, like, comfortably better than others kind of situation there, Donnie. But I don't know who the teams are. Like, everybody would happily put Derrick Henry on their team, right? But is that what they want? Like, I don't know. Just pull... if you're Pittsburgh, Donnie, right? Like, Derrick Henry's better than what you have in house.
Yeah.
No, but forget the Ravens, Donnie, and J.K. Dobbins and his, like, 1 billion injuries, right? Like,
yes.
The Houston Texans could absolutely use Austin Eckler.
Yes.
But if Austin Eckler's like, well, I need $13 million, like, well, that's irrelevant then. We're gonna stick with Devin Singletary, dude.
But aren't they gonna be so cheap though? Like, I don't, like, I'm actually looking at this. And again, it's a different thing. It's like, hey, you know what? Down year across NFL landscape, cap is not going to go up at all. Like, ooh, that's tough for the running backs. Like, the cap went up so high that's like, hey, you know what? Saquon wants $13 million a year. Just go ahead and give it to him. Like, the cap is, we're up so high, we can use him for a year or two and then just cut him anyway at a nice price. And I think they're going to go just completely opposite. So I do. And again, you still want players to be happy, right? It's like, hey, you know what? We just stole Saquon Barkley for $2 million. You think he's going to be all geeked up to come into camp early and work hard? Like, granted, you hope he's a professional, but it's like, man, I thought I was going to make like $15 million a year. I'm down like $3 million a year, and you're going to give me the ball 295 plus times? Like, no, I don't think so at this point. That's what's going to be interesting, because I think you're right in the point that you might be looking at all pro running backs available at training camp start, and like, and your agent going, well, hey, look, buddy, you can really take this out, but there's six other running backs out here. I got a $5 million contract for you right now. 1 year, $5 million, nothing guaranteed. Ah, you know what? I'll take it with the Eagles then. Saquon Barkley's an Eagle at $5 million. Like, I think we're going to see that.
Yeah, maybe. Which, again, like, so, but that'll get really interesting then, because what do some of the teams that are already settled at running back do, Don? Like, let's just use Saquon Barkley, right? Who I think people would maybe label as the most well-rounded back on the market, right?
Yeah.
You know, and if you're the Philadelphia Eagles, right? You're like, look, I got to have Swift for two, or I got to have Barkley for $7 million. Like, maybe you just go and get Saquon Barkley then. But that's still a $5 million. Like, who's willing to make that $5 million move?
Yes.
Again, I'll use the Chiefs, Donnie. The Chiefs don't need Saquon Barkley, but we all know the chills that would send down the spines of this league if all of a sudden Saquon Barkley ended up on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes, yes. And that's the type of team you're like, all right, I'm going to bite it for... But it's almost like you're saying, like, all right, let me just bite it for 1 year. What do you mean bite it for 1 year? So because that was a good year with the Chiefs, the Chiefs go, all right, we made $3 million last year. How about four this year? Like, there's no like, oh, you know what? You proved it. 5 years, $75 million, 35 guarantee. Like, it just feels like it's basically done at this point, and it's over with. By the way, I don't know, we're running out of time in the show, but there was news that came out which had an NFL/college football appeal to it. Eric Bieniemy, longtime assistant coach of Kansas City, won multiple championships there, left Kansas City to go to the train wreck that is the Washington Commanders, didn't get the head coaching job there, heard nothing about him, and he just reappears now as the offensive coordinator of the UCLA Bruins in college football. That was a wild crossover saying that. It really was.
Yeah, but what else is he supposed to do, right? Like, you know, now the NFL isn't even coming calling, so he now probably has a better chance of becoming a head coach at the college game than clearly he ever did in the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he goes to UCLA. Who's UCLA's head coach, though, Donnie? Forgive me.
Foster. DeShaun Foster just got hired.
And where'd they hire him from?
I think he was always with the program, but he used to be a running back there, and then a running back for what? Maybe the Carolina Panthers in the NFL. Yeah. So he has some college ties there, but it was a surprise that he actually got the head coaching job there.
Yeah, let's see. He was there. I mean, my God, he was their running back coach for six, 7 years. I mean, wow, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. That's, so they're just rolling the dice out there for UCLA right now. See if it, you know, comes up snake eyes or it comes up, you know, Yo 11.
But basically, Donnie, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Eric Bieniemy would have been a hire with more cachet than what they ultimately did.
Yes, correct.
So he's going to be the guy then? Like, he's going to be the guy calling the plays, making the moves, making the decisions?
Correct, yes. They basically hired Eric Bieniemy as like, all right, you're a name coach. Come back here to L.A. You grew up here. We're getting a brand new offense. It's yours. Do whatever you want. Let me handle recruiting. That's what it feels like.
Man, that's interesting stuff, DRS. All right. I kind of forgot that when Chip Kelly went to be the OC, of all things, at Ohio State, that meant that job needed to be filled. I kind of forgot about it. I'm being honest. I kind of forgot about that.
It was, by the way, it was one of the weirdest, sort of terms we've ever seen, right, for Chip Kelly. It's like, he got fired, didn't he? You know what? I'm not actually sure he got fired. Will he be the coach next year? Does he want to be the coach? Like, it was such a weird timeline on Chip Kelly. Like, is he the coach or not the coach? And then winds up there, which I think is very good for Ohio State, to be honest. I think they hit a home run. Bill O'Brien out, Chip Kelly in. That offense is going to run 100 miles an hour there in the Big Ten. So I'm actually looking forward to see what we have for the Ohio State at this point. By the way, other football news out there. Mm-hmm. Did you get a look at the video circulating about Cam Newton at 7 on
I saw it. I mean, it was
just like, it was a video that actually made me laugh because you see his hair and his hat, but he's literally fending off like 5 people. His hat's not going anywhere. And it looked like he's winning the battle against 5 other people at one time. Like, usually it's like, all right, me and the boys, it's 5-on-1. Eventually, I don't care how big the guy is, we're going to take him down to get a couple good shots in.
Yep.
Nobody could get a good shot in. And it looked like he was in full control of that melee the entire time, which I was pretty impressed by.
He was rocking. He looked like he was smiling the entire time. Like, he's in a good mental state, it appears, Cam Newton. He seemed fun. Like, but Donnie, was there any? I didn't see anything that explained why it happened. Like, why did they attempt to jump Cam Newton?
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit of background, like, because I did the same thing as you. Like, all you got to do is go down a little bit on the rabbit hole. But it seems like for years, Cam Newton has been around the 7-on-7, like, championship scene. Like, he has a team in there, and he's very, I don't want to say braggadocious is the right word, but very confident. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
And in that world, as you know, in AAU, like, because you always figure out AAU, like, basically 7-on-7 is the AAU of the basketball world, right? You got the athletes that are used to talking that smack. They don't care if you're an adult or not. They're going to talk it to you, and if you talk it back, they'll keep on re-engaging, and then the other team's coaches and parents start to engage in that. It just seems like when Cam Newton shows up, he's like, all right, I'll be a lightning rod. So I saw some clips where the kids are calling him a bum at some of these things, and he's calling them bums, and they're calling him broke, and he's calling their dad broke. I mean, it's a wild scene. So it looks like he appreciates the smoke when he gets there and knows it. And from that video, again, like, he's at the top of the stairs where it starts, ends up by a fence. But I don't even think he went, like, even, like, halfway horizontal. Like, he was up and down the vertical position the entire time while taking punches, and looked like he was enjoying the whole thing. Like, all right, see you at the next tournament. See if you could take me down next. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Very, very odd. Very odd.
Cam Newton mixing it up out here. I don't know, maybe, look, I like what he's doing because he just puts guys like, you know, certain quarterbacks for the San Francisco 49ers on blast every week and saying they're bums. So I got some respect for Cam Newton. I like where he's going here in his professional career at this point. We'll be right back to shut it down on a Monday episode of Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here to close it down on a Monday afternoon edition of Moneyline. Some good college basketball in the card tonight, by the way. Baylor looking to bounce back from that Saturday nightmare of missing a free throw and end up losing to Houston, takes on TCU. TCU is going to beat them tonight. Also, Miami, Florida, Kevin and Joe Lisi's favorite team, getting two touchdowns tonight from North Carolina. Looks like that might be a perfect buyback and opportunity here for Kevin and the boys on Miami of Florida. I also think Kansas State scores a lot of points tonight against West Virginia. Not West a deep Virginia. Card tonight, but they do give you some stuff to watch out for. Maybe even the game of the night is Drexel and Delaware coming to you here. Going into a Drexel, by the way, in the CAA, sits at 10-5. Delaware in the CAA sits at 9-6. So a big time duel down there to see who's going to get the better of them. But not a deep card, as I said, but an interesting card nonetheless here. Any thoughts here on the NBA tonight? Because again, not a deep card in the NBA, only four teams and not really the most compelling matchups, to be honest.
I'll give you one thing to look out for because I don't have full numbers yet, but one book actually, I think DRS's house is offering. Benedict Mathurin is playing way more. Now, it's two games, but he's playing way more minutes per game since the break. And these are the kind of things you want to try and look out for. If this is going to hold, a lot of his numbers, specifically the rebounds and assist categories, are light. I would look in that direction. And I haven't figured it out yet, Donnie, but Miami is basically running out of Band-Aid squad there due to injuries and suspensions. So there's going to be some prop shots in that game, even though Sacramento's on the second leg of the back-to-back.
Yes, and Sacramento on the back-to-back after they beat the Clippers, right? I think they beat the Clippers last night. On the road, now coming home in that one, and I did see the Heat. No Tyler Hero, no Rozier tonight, and obviously suspensions on that team as well, with guys like Jimmy Butler will not play tonight, so that's one to keep an eye on. I actually like the Pistons a little bit, to be honest, getting 11.5 tonight, taking on the New York Knicks. Knicks still without a lot of their superstars there, but some interesting stuff nonetheless, which includes the Brooklyn Nets actually favored to beat the Memphis Grizzlies. Well, they have lost 7 of 8 games. That'll do it for today's show. On a Monday afternoon for JP behind the wheels of steel. It's Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. Tomorrow's a Tuesday, and you know what? We'll be back for another edition of Moneyline. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.